This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
If you would please, get out your handout or the insert in your bulletin so you can follow along with today's teaching time. And as you've probably noted, or if you're looking at your handout, the teaching time today is from our Old Testament passage, Isaiah chapter 43. Now, in our gospel passage today, Luke told us that John the Baptist was preaching something very special. What did Luke call it? He said that John was preaching good news. Now, what was good about what John had to say? John was telling everyone, Jesus is coming. And he got a good response from that. Thousands of people went out to the Jordan to be baptized by John, and they were repenting of their sin and believing the message that John was bringing to them, that a Messiah was coming. And indeed, by that time, Jesus was already on the earth. He had already been born. Both John and Jesus were roughly 30 years old because, as you know, John was born 6 months before Jesus was. And so John was preaching some good news. That Jesus was coming was good news, right? We all agree about that. I only got one yes out of that. We all agree that Jesus coming was good news. Amen? That's better. Okay. Now, some of the things that Jesus was going to do and some of the gifts that Jesus was going to provide for us were prophesied by Isaiah roughly 700 years before Jesus came. And so let's look at the passage, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you were precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is an amazing passage, if you think about it. Let's look at the passage. And the first thing Isaiah's prophecy tells us is that we were created by God. By itself, that's good news. Why is that? Who knows why the fact that we were created by God is good news?
Well, we didn't evolve from the slime.
That's it. We are not accidents. You're not here by some cosmic joke or some accidental freak happening. You are intentionally here. By God's intention, and this is on your handout, He formed us with His hands. He custom made every person in this room as a finely crafted work of art. Did you know that? Each one of us in this sanctuary is a work of art. And I mean work of art, not a piece of work. Because that has a very negative connotation to it. We are handcrafted works of art by God. I don't know if any of us in this room have ever thought, hey, I'm a work of art. Then Isaiah tells us that the Lord calls us by name. Why is this important? Why is it important that God calls us each by name? What's that? Exactly. Because he knows us. This may sound a little creepy, but there have been times when I've been in prayer that in my mind's ear, for lack of a better way to put it, I've heard the still small voice actually call me by my name. Mike, I'm talking to you. You know, that'll startle you for a minute, you know, for a few seconds. What? Where'd that voice come from? There's nobody around. It's the Lord saying, hey, I got something to tell you. Don't get creeped out when you hear God call your name. At least at first, anyway. He calls us by our name. And this is a good thing. And the answer is exactly the way Emily answered it. He knows us. He's familiar with us. There's comfort in that. If you ever talked to a salesperson at some department store, or if you've been on the phone on some sales talk or discussion, or gone to a car dealership and had the person or an insurance agent and they've started using your first name when they were talking to you, why do you think they do that? Why do you think salespeople will start using our first names?
To make it more personal.
To make it more personal. Beautiful. That's exactly right. It's an effort to add a personal touch. The evidence from sales figures shows that the person doing the selling is far more likely to get a sale when the customer is relaxed and believes the atmosphere is friendly. That's why they do it. They want you to be relaxed. Now, personally, I'm not too wild about that, but that's just me because I'm a nudge. Anyway, it's a personal touch that draws the customer closer and makes the customer feel more comfortable. Everyone except me. The customer is likely to be more trusting of someone who calls them by their name, in theory. At least all of us might not think that, but when we have a good friend, sometimes that friend will even call you by your nickname. Why do they do that? It's because they know you. They're familiar with you. They're comfortable around you, and in theory, if it's your best friend, you're comfortable around them. It's a comfortable atmosphere. There's trust. And we're calling each other by our names. It's even better than that with the Lord, who calls us by our name. According to this verse, the Lord calls us by our name because he already knows us. Further, he is a personal God. He is knowable. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be familiar with him. He wants us to be at peace and trusting of him. And he adds a certain amount of comfort, and it should add a certain amount of comfort when the Lord will call us by our name. And this now is in your handout. It's also important because this verse tells us that the Lord relates to us one-on-one in a special way. He treats everyone with dignity and loving respect. He knows he made each one of us to be different, so he relates to us personally on our level, where we are, and in the way we need. And we know that he loves us. You know, this ought to be something we're used to. But occasionally I think we all need to be reminded in our hectic world, full of turmoil and trouble, that we do actually have a God who knows us by name and who calls us by our name and who wants us to know him and to receive the benefits that come from knowing God through Christ. So he calls us by our name. The next line is equally as precious and priceless, if you think about it. He says, "You are mine." We're His. Each one of us, if we have come to faith in Christ, each one of us is His treasured possession. Do you have anything, do you have any possession or something that is actually really precious to you? Do you have something that you wouldn't trade for anything? Like maybe you have a ring that belonged to your grandmother or your grandfather. Maybe you have a locket that your grandmother gave you. Maybe you have a friendship bracelet that was given to you by your best friend in school, and you wouldn't part with that for anything because it has meaning and significance to you and it's personal with you. That's how God is with us. Meaningful and personal. It may be something that anyone and everyone else would think was silly, but to you, it's priceless. And you wouldn't part for it for anything. And for me, I still have my hat, the hat my dad wore as a Supply Corps officer in the Navy. It's old, it's kind of faded, getting kind of crusty, and it wouldn't probably bring more than a quarter at an Army-Navy store. But to me, that hat is priceless. Because it was my dad's hat. And now that he's with Jesus, no amount of money can replace that hat. And I have it on a stack on my bookshelf. But there it is. That hat, obviously, is over 60 years old. Because my dad was in the Navy from like 56 to 58 or something like that. 59. But that hat is priceless. That's how God views you. You are priceless. Not only that, you were redeemed and paid for with the price of the blood of Jesus. Folks, the Lord said, "You are mine." This is on your handout. We were bought at a price of the life of His Son, and nothing on earth is as valuable to Him as you are. And you. And you. And you. And you. And you. There's nothing on the earth, and everyone here, that Jesus values. No one, no how, nowhere, no way. That He values as much as each one of us. Why? Because we're His children. The next lines in the Isaiah passage are, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God." To most of us, we look at those lines and we think they're talking about danger and disaster. We think of how God rescues us when we're in trouble. And He does do that. In a literal storm or under some fearful problem. But how many of us realize that these waters, rivers, and fires might simply be on the inside in our own minds and things we're going through personally on the inside? It doesn't always have to be some cataclysmic event. It could be some interior struggle with which we're wrestling. But it seems like it's a fire. It seems like we're overwhelmed. We're in over our heads. God already said, "You are mine," which means we're valuable to Him. His desire is for us to live contentedly and have peace. Yet, God sometimes lets us endure trials. He lets us get into some kind of trouble, but only so we can experience His deliverance and find out on the other side how He cared for us. This is not in your line, but how do we know how good God is and how strong He is to be able to deliver us from something unless we're in something that, from which we need deliverance? If nothing ever happens, we don't have any concept about how good God is. Think about that. From BeliefNet, there's the story of Taylor McCaffrey, who said, "I went from being an alcoholic teenage preacher's son to sober like an off switch at the age of 21 after 5 years of heavy drinking. I had gotten saved at age 5 and grew up in church. But as a young teen, I just had a rebel bone in me and got addicted to alcohol. I stayed drunk. On my 21st birthday, I had been drinking about 8 hours straight and simply heard the voice of the Holy Spirit inside me say, 'Either do what I've called you to do, or I will not continue wrestling you.' It sounded so stern, however so loving. I was instantly sober. That just doesn't happen. By the grace of God, I'm still sober years later." That's a great story, but let's think about the mindset of this young man who made a decision to rebel against his parents. What made him do that? It was an internal struggle, no doubt. Yeah, he could have been a young kid wanting to sow his wild oats, like a lot of teenagers do. However, God let him rebel, but then God brought him back. His mindset of rebellion was healed, and he was delivered from that. Then there's a story about a young boy named Garrett Vieira. His mom wrote that, "My son was born with hypothyroidism, but the hospital filed his name backwards. They called him Vieira Garrett instead of Garrett Vieira. This caused a delay in receiving test results that our state had just put in place a couple of years before to test each newborn. Left untreated, the doctors said that they did not know what sort of damage may have occurred, but that it was more than likely irreversible." His mom wrote that she knew something was not right because Garrett slept nearly 24 hours a day, except when he was nursing. "When he was 3 months old, we were sitting in a church service," she says. "The pastor asked if anyone had a prayer request to stand, name your request and believe God for the answer. We did so, and my 3-month-old son called out the words, 3 months old, 'Good, good, 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 good.'" You know of any 3-month-old baby that ever talks? Makes a lot of noise, trust me. Three-month-old babies do make an awful lot of noise, but this one actually spoke and said, "Good, good, good." Everyone sitting around us started laughing, and I find myself laughing and crying as I knew we had experienced a miracle. He began reading at the age of 2.5 and became a member of the Mensa Society by the time he was in second grade. You know what Mensa Society is? For geniuses, you have to have an IQ of something like 170 to get in. And this kid was in second grade and was a member of the Mensa Society. He took college classes in high school. She said, "I know he is a miracle." God is a God of deliverance from the internal struggles we have, from the internal conditions that we all face. He is a God who can lift us up, and if we're feeling anxiety or depression or fear or whatever, He is the God who can reach down into our hearts and in our minds and lift us up and deliver us from that. All we have to do is trust Him. There was a Christian magazine that told the story of a woman who was a leader in her church. She was a ministry director and writer and helped others overcome feelings of inadequacy, depression, anxiety, and all these other things. But yet, one day, she wrote that she began to experience anxiety attacks herself. She wrote, "I paced my home trying to think of the best place to lie down in case I died. My heart was pounding, and I felt an immense amount of chest pressure and pain. I was lightheaded, weak, and I couldn't catch my breath. She wrote that her husband was at work, and all of the children in the house were asleep. She wrote that her red sofa seemed like the most appropriate place to perish. So I slowly made my way over, she wrote, curled up in a ball in my favorite morning coffee groove, and dialed 911. The paramedics found me right away. A pale, shaking, hyperventilating woman on a red couch is fairly easy to spot, she said. They calmly assessed me and asked, "Have you been under a lot of stress lately?" My dramatic near-death experience was a panic attack. "We can take you to the hospital to make sure, but we're confident that this is a panic attack and you are not in any danger." So they left her at home. The ambulance drove away, and she crawled back into bed, humiliated, terrified, and still trembling, and completely unaware of the journey that lay ahead of her. She said in that story, "I was stepping into the darkest season of my life, and this was just the prelude." That one day of panic turned into a full-blown panic disorder, causing me several panic attacks a day and continuing for months. She wrote, quote, "I couldn't shower, I couldn't drive my kids to school, I couldn't eat, and some days I couldn't even leave my bed. I feared going crazy. I lost total control over my body and mind, and I felt drained of all stability. I was afraid for my life, and I was afraid of my life." She wrote that one evening she even considered suicide to try to get out of that. She went to her bedroom, though, and she got out her Bible and began to read. She had what she called a standoff with God. Yet, as she read, she spoke God's word over her life. She said, "All I sort of knew was that this Bible, the one I had spent the last 15 years of my life reading figuratively, could renew my mind. It was then that I made the decision to take each word that God breathed literally," meaning to apply it to her own life, that it wasn't some kind of allegory. It wasn't some sort of analogy for one thing looking like another. It was God speaking. And she decided to take the Bible literally. And as a result, she was delivered from fear, anxiety, and depression. The power of God's word is amazing. And I want to add one little personal story here. One time back in Springfield, Missouri, we had gone to the dentist, and Yasue started experiencing some trembling and shaking in the face and some pain from the dental procedure, and it started, you know, getting really nervous, and she chattering her teeth and all of that. But all of a sudden, what she did was she got out her Japanese Bible while we were driving along and started reading God's Word. And about 30 minutes, or 30 seconds rather, into reading God's Word, all the clattering, the shaking, the twitching, everything went away. The pain went away. The numbness from all the Novocaine went away immediately. And she was immediately healed and delivered from that. That's the power of speaking God's Word into your life. Do not ever neglect the power of God's Word to absolutely and sometimes immediately reverse the effects of what's happening. You see, God knows us, and this is in your handout now, and calls us by name. He knows our innermost thoughts and knows our deepest needs. He knows our struggles. He knows our limitations. He is our healer and deliverer. Let's hear God call our name. You say, well, what does that mean? It means listening to God. It means getting still in His presence and reading His Word like we know He will speak to us. It means we take literally His promise that we are His. In other words, we believe all this stuff we've been talking about, and we start letting it work in our own lives. Let's believe He will pull us up out of those waters of life that seek literally to drown us. Let's believe He will rescue us from the fires inside that seek to destroy our minds and our hearts. Folks, we are in a battle, and it's spiritual. The devil is trying to mess with your head. But we have God's Word. We can hear His voice. We can hear Him speak to us from His Word. We can speak His Word into our lives, and we can tell the devil literally where to go. When we truly believe His Word, and we believe and take hold of His promises, we will soon be able to live free from fear, free from anxiety, free from discouragement, and free from panic. You see, we may not be in an ideal situation. We may be flatly frustrated with where we are in life. But what we do have on our side in those moments when we feel that frustration, we feel the anxiety, we feel sometimes even the abandonment that God has left us or forgotten about us, He hasn't. He's called us by our name. We are where we are because He put us there. And He knows right where we are. He knows right what we're going through. He knows what we struggle with. He knows what's on our minds. He knows what we're angry about. He knows what we're aggravated about. He knows what we're royally peeved about. But when we truly believe His Word and take hold of His promises, we will soon be able to live free from fear, anxiety, discouragement, and panic. So, let's call on His name, believe that He has called us by our name, and let's listen for His reply. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.